It's an unseasonably cool July evening in Dulac, Louisiana, as the community center parking lot fills up. About 100 people are here to attend a forum to discuss the impending crisis caused by the BP oil spill. Already, most of the fishing grounds that this community depends on for food and work are closed because of oil contamination. Inside the building, plastic tables and chairs are arranged in a massive square as dozens of indigenous people from 5 countries take their seats.
First, I would like to thank everyone for coming out tonight, friends from Ecuador and everyone else that's here. We want to say welcome.
Thomas Dardar is the principal chief of the United Homa Nation, which is hosting tonight's forum.
Last night, we spent some time together and heard stories of the same kind of disasters that, you know, that they're sharing, that we've had here, that they haven't over there. And it didn't just start with this BP spill. You know, it's been going on for decades and decades and decades.
Louisiana's wetlands have been deteriorating steadily since the 1930s as a result of the canals dug by the oil companies. Oil and gas extraction have also caused the land to sink in some places. But nothing of this magnitude has ever hit the Gulf Coast, and residents here are worried about what it means for a people who live off the land and the water.
It's really disturbing to know that we might not ever. I don't see us fishing. Shrimping.
Tribal Council Representative Laura Ann Chasson.
I have a hard time dealing with this, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know if anybody knows the answer, but I know that no one can get a straight answer.
These communities are looking to people like Ricky Ott to give them a straight answer about how the oil will affect them. Ott has a PhD in marine biology and makes her living commercial fishing in Alaska. She's been studying the effects of the 1989 Exxon Valdez spill for the last 20 years. Before the forum began, participants took a bus tour of the bayou, and Ott spoke about what she has learned from the Exxon spill.
The morning of March 24th, we woke up with a tanker wreck. 11 million gallons, we were told, the oil industry underestimated, made it smaller than what it was. And we have the same thing as happening here. We have this contingency plan that the industry has, contingency plan that says how they're going to clean up after an accident. And we all see here, the same as Alaska, it works a lot better on paper than in practice.
When the spill first washed ashore on Alaskan beaches, Exxon told the natives there would be no long-term harm from the oil. Ott says that was not true.
And we said we would wait till the pink salmon eggs grow up to become adults. They have babies, and their babies grow up adults. 4 years we would wait. 4 years we waited. 4 years, the whole ecosystem collapsed. The fish collapsed, the herring, the salmon, everything that ate the herring, the whole ecosystem collapsed in 4 years. To this day, we still do not have our herring back. They never recovered. Scientists say that it will take another 50 years for the oil to leave our beaches and another 100 years for the clams to come back.
A lawsuit against Exxon was appealed up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the company ended up paying $507 million, about one-tenth of the original jury award, for damages to the environment and local economy. Of all the people attending this forum, perhaps no one has more experience fighting oil companies than Luis Yance. He's the lead plaintiff in what is now the largest environmental lawsuit in history. In the early 1960s, Texaco came to the remote Amazon rainforests of Ecuador and began drilling for oil. By the time Texaco left the Amazon in 1992, it had admittedly dumped more than 56 billion liters of toxic waste directly into the streams and rivers of the Amazon. Today, more than 30,000 indigenous people have been affected by the contamination. Chevron purchased Texaco in 2000, and if the court rules against them, they could be forced to pay up to $27 billion in damages. The company declined to be interviewed for this story. It claims that the responsibility for cleanup lies solely with Petro Ecuador, the Ecuadorian oil company that was a partner in the consortium that owned the wells. Both Ricky Ott and Luis Yance have come to this forum not only to share their stories, but to provide concrete advice for these communities on how to deal with oil contamination.
Me parece importante documentar la evidencia del daño.
People need to document the damages and to do it independently, with independent scientists, credible scientists, because at least in Ecuador, when you go to court, the decision needs to be based on evidence. You have to prove damages. Otherwise, a company can evade its responsibility.
evadir su responsabilidad.
Residents like Brenda Dardar Robichaud are worried about the aspects of their culture that no amount of money can replace.
Louisiana is paying the ultimate price for what the world enjoys, for what the United States enjoys. But yet, the home of people, all of us living along the coast of Louisiana, are paying the ultimate price. And so I think it's really important that we speak in one united voice and stand up for our rights as indigenous people, no matter what country we represent, no matter what area we represent, because our very existence, our very way of life is being threatened.
BP's latest attempt at capping the well could stop the flow of oil into the Gulf by the end of this week. This would be the first good news since the rig exploded on April 20th. But for the United Homa Nation, it is the beginning of decades of cleanup and litigation that will determine the fate of a fragile community on the brink of survival. I'm David Weinberg for VOA News, Dulac, Louisiana.